Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. Been a while.
It has been.
How was your cross-country venture?
Oh, my gosh. It was great, but I think probably the greatest anxiety I had was not having cell service, not being able to check my BlackBerry. It freaked me out.
Yeah, so what'd you do? Homing pigeon?
Well, it took about a day, and then I relaxed and got into it and kind of enjoyed it. Actually really enjoyed it. But it was odd. You know, we started driving, and all of a sudden I looked down at my BlackBerry, and after like an hour, no emails, no messages, and 2 hours, I'm like, gosh, there's something really wrong here.
And then I realized, all of a sudden, did it start buzzing when you found an area where
it did.
That service?
It did, and it would dump down, you know, like 40 of them would come through, and so it was a little exciting for me. But then I eventually just turned it off. It was great for a full week. And enjoyed the national parks and lots of hiking and biking and returned without any injury, which was great.
Yes, I heard, though, you did have a little bit of an injury once you arrived back in town.
I did. Actually, I have to show you the injury because I just took the bandage off. So I get back. I don't know if you can see that. I don't know if you want to look at my hairy legs. But so I get back. My lawn is much higher than I like it. I like my lawn cross-hatched and just perfect, right?
Like a golf course.
It's the first thing I did. I mean, I got in. I didn't even take the luggage out of the car. I start mowing the lawn. And I stepped into the ivy and got bit by a snake.
Wow.
And it hurt. It hurt. But I actually stepped on the snake, and it came up my leg, as you can see, and bit me. But it was a black snake. So
So that's a good one?
Yeah. It's not venomous. So I, but all that time hiking and in Sequoia and Yosemite, no problem. I come home and within 2 hours get bit by a snake.
In your own home.
They say accidents happen. Yeah, less than 5 miles from your own home. In this case, it was right in my front yard. But anyway, enough chit-chat. I did have a great vacation. Thanks for asking. And before we start, though, Lee, what's up with this Radio X favorite host thing?
That's right. It's, you know, tomorrow's our big event. We have over 100 people RSVP already.
I saw that.
And so it's going to be quite a crowd at the Inside Design studio off of Perimeter. Do you know where that is?
I do, yes.
Have you ever been in there?
I have.
That sounds like something you would like.
It is. It's right across from Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Paradise, right. And so at the event, we're having a, for fun-ish, some people are taking it more seriously than others, a award of your favorite host. And you can vote for $1 a ballot, and you can vote, Stone likes to call it Chicago style, where you can, as many votes as you can, as you'd like to pay for, you can vote.
So if any of our listeners find me to be their favorite Radio X host,
start forking over the cash, and it's for the furniture bank.
Yeah, which, great cause.
Yeah, donates, what is it, furniture to people that are just getting started or out of a bad relationship or something.
Yeah, you can find out all about it on their website. You'll include that, right, Lee?
Absolutely.
Terrific. Well, gosh, and a show that excites me today because you know how when sometimes we get guests that it's pulling teeth for me to get excited about the subject matter. Today, that's definitely not the case. With us first this morning, we have Nicole Siakis, who is with MomCorp. And being a mom myself, it resonates with me and definitely touches my home. I'd love to know, Nicole, first of all, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show and tell us all about MomCorp.
Thank you. MomCorp is a national staffing firm that works with companies to place two types of positions generally. First is contract type of positions, and we call those on-demand talent. So those are for project-based positions. And then the second thing that we do are permanent positions that are flexible in nature or part-time in nature. And we work with professionals who are looking for non-traditional type of positions as well, flexible, that type of thing.
So how'd you get involved? Are you a mom yourself?
I am a mom myself. And so I have actually known the CEO, Allison O'Kelly, and the COO, Maria Goldshaw, for several years now. And am a big believer in what we do, just being a mom and a former corporate employee, understand the need for flexibility. So just have been good friends with them for a couple of years and talked to them when they started franchising earlier this year. And after a few conversations, we decided to go pursue this.
Were you ever a client of theirs in terms of did they replace you in one of those temp positions?
No. We built a partnership with them in a former firm that I worked for.
So that was your first kind of taste of how they operate in a business setting?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And a lot has happened for the company because they were on our show,
a couple
said
years ago?
Yeah,
right.
2007. I remember. I was so impressed then with their concept, but now they franchise. So what made you decide to open a franchise in your city?
I have sort of an eclectic background, but I started off in the military and got smaller, worked for Bell South, and then worked for a small executive search firm here, and always have had the entrepreneurial spirit. So that was part of it. And as a mother, I'm a huge believer in what we do. So with the combination of believing in what we do, knowing that we could help companies with that on-demand talent, project-based talent, with top-tier professionals who do want to work, it just seemed like a natural fit for me.
So I know when I went back to work, because I stayed home with my kids pretty much full time when they were little until they were seven. I did some part-time work in consulting. But what are mothers' biggest apprehensions in going back to work, do you think?
Confidence is a big part of it. If they've been out for a while, they're not certain if their skill sets are current. The other part of it is, how is the family going to adjust? It can be a big change when you're used to being home and the kids are used to having you home. So we tend to work a lot with moms in building that confidence up, making sure that they're ready, making sure their resumes are current, making sure that they're ready to go into an interview. And so hopefully the confidence is there when they get ready to take that job.
Because that's tough, too. It's hard to put on your resume, you know, volunteer work or room mom at preschool or, you know, it's hard. It really is hard to build that resume back up.
But aren't a lot of the moms people that are executives, right?
They are all professionals. So we work a lot with CPAs, marketing professionals, all types of professionals. And the majority of our candidates have actually only been out between 2 to 5 years. So a lot of their work experience is still very relevant.
Sure.
And I always encourage if it's a mom or even a dad in some cases that are taking some time off, if you're in a leadership volunteer role, put that on your resume as well.
Okay, good. Good to know. Now, what does an employer have to gain by hiring one of your applicants?
What we are finding is that in many cases, the companies, although they're having to let permanent employees go, the work is still there. And so with our candidates, they're okay with knowing that they're only going to be there for a short time or a project-based for a project-based position. And so they're okay, and they have that professional experience. So they're a good fit going in, hit the ground running, and then they're back out again when the project is over, and they're okay with that. They're not looking to come on as a permanent employee.
So that they don't mind that kind of flexible.
Not at all. Not at all.
They probably like that, you know, a lot of them, right?
They love it. They love it. They know that they can either work a reduced schedule, let's say from 9 to 3 or something like that. So
right.
They can be home when the kids get home and get them off the bus. They're very, very excited about
it. Are there virtual working opportunities now?
There are. We have many positions that clients are okay with the candidate being wherever they are at working from home.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, things have changed, huh?
Yes.
I bet there weren't that many when you were
No, definitely not.
Technology's a big driver of that.
It is. And you know, it's changed so much just even in the last 6 years.
Right.
It is amazing what you can do from home, just not from a national park. Now, when women are looking to get back into the workforce, or, you know, maybe they haven't been gone for very long, are there any suggestions or articles or training type of materials you might suggest for them?
Certainly, if they are in a specific field like an accountant or an HR professional, I would definitely make sure that they get caught up. There are societies, professional organizations that they can join, and a lot of those societies have websites with a lot of current information, so they need to know what all the current regulations and practices are. So definitely, if you are a specialist or even a marketing person, make sure that you're up and current on the latest trends in your field.
And do you do any kind of coaching up of the moms when they're transitioning back in the workforce?
We do. We prepare all of our candidates before they go into an interview. They'll know as much as we know about a client and a company. We do encourage them to Google the people that they're interviewing with and the companies, obviously. And then we practice interviewing with them as well. So that, again, just builds the confidence. And the other thing is that we, when we go into this, we have very clear conversations with our clients to know what the expectations are around flexibility. And we have those conversations with our candidates as well, so that everyone feels comfortable with what the arrangement's going to be.
Do a lot of the moms feel a little apprehensive, like getting back in? Do they think, you know, is there a lack of confidence? Is that really an issue?
It depends. It depends on how long that they have been out of the workforce. The moms that haven't been out very long, they jump right back in with no problems. The moms that have been out a little bit longer, sometimes they can be a little bit more nervous. But usually we get them so well prepared that they feel very comfortable by the time they're going in to meet with clients.
You touched a little bit on the resume and when time lapses. Can you maybe talk a little bit about that? I mean, how do you help folks prepare their resumes?
There are a couple things that we can do. There's a chronological resume, obviously, so that if you haven't been out that long, and as I mentioned earlier, if you do have a leadership role in a volunteer organization, certainly put that in there. But you can also create a skills-based resume. So there are certain skills that you've had back when you were a working professional. You can certainly highlight those and not make a chronological resume and give people a clear expectation of what your skill sets are.
Now, how do you go about screening the applicant?
Well, we thoroughly interview several candidates, and it depends specifically on what the job is that we're looking to fill. And then we'll narrow down that pool to the top three or four to present to our client. But we thoroughly interview everyone, and we also do background checks and reference checks as well before a candidate is placed with the client.
That's good. It's probably very important to have all of that. I would imagine that a company that comes to you to fill a position finds that it saves a lot of time. What are some of the other things that you provide the company or the organization? Because there's a lot of search crews out there, a lot of staffing companies. What are some of the things that make you different?
Well, I think probably the big thing that makes us different is, especially in these times, our candidates really, they're top-tier professionals, so they all have professional qualifications. But they are people who aren't necessarily looking for a full-time job, and we call it on-demand talent. So if there is a project that's going on, our candidates are okay knowing that I'm going to go in here for 3 weeks or 3 months or 6 months to fill a position, but then I'm going to be done. Or they're just generally okay with that.
Now, you talked about some of these are temporary or just for a short period of time. Do you offer benefits to these employees?
They do not get benefits through the Mom Corps as a contractor, but all of our clients, which are companies, have the option of converting a candidate from a contract position to a full-time permanent position.
Okay.
And in that case, they'll often be awarded benefits from the company.
Now, how many people want a permanent job? Do most people want that kind of flexibility, or I'm sure there's some that want permanent.
It really depends on what the arrangements are going to be for that permanent position. If it's a part-time position, maybe 25 hours a week, or if there's a virtual component to it, they don't necessarily have to be in the office, then a lot of candidates are okay with that. And one thing to clarify is that the majority of the candidates that we work with are moms, but we have found over time that we work with a lot of dads as well. And we've also gotten a great pool of candidates who come to us confidentially who work in a business in an office 60 hours a week and have come to us and said, you know what, I just don't know if I want to be in an office full time. If you know of anything that's flexible or virtual or anything along those lines, they come to us confidentially and look for opportunities as well.
So aside from the name, you do work with dads and with folks that aren't moms.
We do.
What percent are men?
It's a relatively small percent. The majority of the folks that we work with are mothers, but we do work with dads.
Now, you are a mom, and you work, obviously. What do you think are some hot tips you can give our listeners about the work-life balance?
You know, that's an individual thing. Everybody looks at that differently. But the big thing really is to have a conversation with your family and make sure that everybody is okay with going back to work, making sure everybody knows what the expectations are of one another if things are going to change in the household. And communication is probably the biggest driver there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine. Actually, I know that firsthand. How about you, Lee? You have a lot of flexibility.
Yes.
But you need it, too, because Abby doesn't. So, it does.
Well,
it
it's is. About a team. You got to have that team mentality.
Right.
It can't be like I'm doing my thing, my wife's doing her thing, the kids are doing their thing. We got to all work together.
That's right.
You know, that leads me to one of my last questions. A lot of companies now are implementing a lot of flexibility and work from home and things like that. Talk a little bit about that. I mean, how have you seen that affect the business, just the flexibility in working from alternate spaces?
I think that companies are getting more and more comfortable because of the technology that's out there with letting employees work remotely. There are a lot of companies that are actually seeing increased productivity that comes along with that, and employee satisfaction. They feel better if they know that they have the flexibility to change their schedule a little bit, whether it's working for them as a family at home. And often we have folks that are taking care of elderly parents or even to go out and volunteer. So it makes for a much better, well-rounded employee when you can offer some sort of flexibility.
And you staff a lot of different types of companies. Can you maybe list some of your clients so our listeners can get an idea of where these opportunities may lie?
We work with clients that are accounting firms here locally. We work with startup companies. We work with probably the best suited for us is a mid-sized type of company. Lee and I were actually talking about that earlier. But we work across the board in Atlanta.
Okay. But even some Fortune 500 companies, too, that look for, you know, temporary folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've worked with Home Depot on occasion, KPMG on occasion, companies like that.
Okay. And how can people contact you if they want to learn more?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, www.momcorps, and that's MOMCORPS.com.
Wonderful. And my last question for you, though, is there's so many different franchise models out there. Were you just really taken with the company, and then when it became a franchise, you bought into it? Or are you an entrepreneurial spirit that had always looked at franchising?
I have an entrepreneurial spirit. I didn't necessarily look at franchising, but I wasn't sure how I could kind of feel that need to be an entrepreneur. But knowing Allison, who's the CEO, and Maria for so many years, and the idea of what we do, it just felt like a natural fit for me.
Terrific. And it may feel like a natural fit for some of our listeners, too.
Absolutely.
So we hope that they'll engage you and find out more.
Thank you
so much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
You know, you talk about flexibility and working from home and your BlackBerry and working from just about any place. It leads us to our next guest, who I really enjoy in his blog, Lee. You know, I'm kind of tough
to
catch.
Now you're into blogs.
Now I'm into blogs, only a certain amount of them, but I am into Matthew's blog. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you.
Tell us about Half Rose Marketing.
Well, I left a job at the end of May and created a blog really to highlight my thought leadership. And really my core area of expertise is what I call social marketing, which is the fusion of enterprise social media and then obviously corporate marketing. And as I've, over the last couple of months, been creating this blog and using it as a thought leadership center, it's morphed from a job search into a establishment of a business. And so I'm the kind of case study for how do you use social media to bootstrap a business and develop a marketing plan around it.
Okay, so how do you do it?
Yeah, come on. We want to know.
Well, there's a couple things. First off, I usually use an analogy to describe what social media is, because when you talk...
Please, we need those. We need those. Everyone has a different opinion on this, so let's hear it.
Well, I use the analogy of fishing. So social media is like fishing. You've got the ocean, okay? So you've got deep sea fishing. You don't own the ocean, but you cast a net, and that's the LinkedIn, the Twitter, and the Facebooks of the world. You participate. The other side of it, which is where really my background has been in the enterprise social media, which is it's like fish farming. You build a pond, and when it's mature, you move to the next pond. When it's mature, you move to the next pond. You build an enterprise community built into your website. And very much like you model the sales process, you have an open website, then you have a membership driven, and then you have the one-to-one conversation that you follow with the clients. And so social media is really an interaction model that allows you to interact with people out on the broader space, out on the web, or to participate into your website. Instead of the traditional web 1.0, this is the web 2.0 user experience.
So now
that analogy, by the way, Lee.
The fishing?
I like that. I understood that, and I like that one.
Well, you like fishing, hunting.
I do.
You're an outdoors person.
I'm not a hunter, though. No. I like fishing. To shoot. I would never kill anything other
you
than, no, I
kill
like to catch.
Pottery.
Yeah, clays. Sporting clays. Yeah. No, not a hunter. Sorry. Go ahead.
So you, how are you finding the marketplace right now? I know there's a lot of companies that are curious about social media. They feel they have to be involved in it, but they... You know, they're kind of clueless, and they want to kind of take the paradigm that's always existed and kind of just slap it on top of social media, but it's not the same kind of world now. How do you kind of work through that with your clients?
Well, usually, and this is pretty much ever-present in every corporate setting that I've talked to, every company is having these type of conversations because it's so present. And so first thing I tell people is that Twitter is not a strategy. So when I talk to them, you know, usually they'll come in and say, oh, yeah, we started Twittering. So how's it going for you? Well, we don't know. We're, you know, we're building these networks, but what do you do with it? So when I'm starting to do consulting for these large enterprises, the conversation really starts with social media, and the interest in social media is a direct result of a problem that's happening in terms of marketing. And the marketing problem that you have is that very few companies can get front page organic search placement. So how do they get found? It was the same problem I had. How do I get awareness when I was trying to get my blog distributed? I have a blog. I had a thought leadership. How do I get people to pay attention?
Right.
So part of it is it's not just, oh, okay, fine. I take a technology or I take a social media site and I go out and participate. I think that's important. But part of it is also taking a step back and saying, how do we get create something of value that allows people to draw them in? And so it's a very traditional marketing is very much oriented around, hey, how do I push out my message?
Right.
Social media is about engagement. It's about evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelism is I educate first and then I engage second.
Okay.
Which is completely opposite of what our traditional sales and marketing used to be, that I would learn about a product because I would engage with a sales rep and get educated through the sales process.
So that educational process, though, I understand that you need to give your participants or your followers something of value. Walk me through an example of that, because I can think of certain industries where it would be hard to educate them, but maybe I'm just not seeing the light. Can you give me an example?
Sure. As a matter of fact, I'll use my own case, my own case example of how I got into where I was doing and what's happened. So I'm an active participant in LinkedIn. I've been on Twitter. I've been on Facebook. The challenge was that for example, I've got 3,500 LinkedIn contacts. What do you do with that? Well, I built my blog, and then I took iContact and built an email distribution list, and I did a weekly digest of my blog topics to my contacts on LinkedIn.
Okay.
What happened is that all of a sudden I started getting people forwarding my email, and became very viral because they would read my blog posts and say, you know what, that really resonates. Hey, you should look at this. This mm-hmm. is really educational. I like this. I also started participating in the social media sites. I would go to a group on LinkedIn that was on for social media, and I would syndicate out my content, mm-hmm. not because I was looking to do kind of self-promotion, but more about, hey, this is the topics I'm writing on. It fits into the conversation. And I started to use that as conversation starters. What's happening is it's become the center of my marketing activities is the interaction that people have around in the content that I'm generating around my particular area of domain. So the more I give it away for free, the more interest I'm getting. And so it's kind of counterintuitive to your idea of, you know, what we think about marketing in general is, well, you know, I have to make sure that I get my message out and I control it. For me, I don't know who sees what I'm sending out. I don't even know who participates. But I'm able to take a look at what's going on the web and see the backlinks and see who points to my content.
Mm-hmm.
I get phone calls from people who say, so-and-so said I need to talk to you because you know what you're – and so that's changed. Where I think this is really going is there's a broader context. Social media represents really a change in buyer behavior. And what I mean by that is that we used to – engage, or either we would go to a website and we learn about a product, or we would engage with a sales rep, but it was an engagement from a sales perspective. But what's happening is that, start with search engines, I don't have to engage with someone to get research. I go to Google or I go to Yahoo and I type in what I want to find, and guess what? I decide who I want to engage with. So if you're not in my research, you're not being found. You're not on the short list. And so what happens is that for small companies, major companies, what you're really representing is the power is shifting more to the buyers. The buyers now control who they engage and how they want to engage mm-hmm. because they have a lot more information at their fingertips. Social media really represents social search.
It does. You know, you talk about the social search. When I was in California, the one commercial thing we did was we went to Legoland. And I'm all about saving money. So we were on our way to Legoland, which is an hour drive. And I went on Twitter and just entered Legoland California to see if I could find any coupons. And sure enough, y'all, I saved us $150.
Wow. Wow.
And when I went up to the customer service and I showed them the coupon on Twitter, and they're like, yeah, we'll honor it. So, I mean, I saw how it could work for me on just searching the Legoland California, and it was that simple on my BlackBerry in 5 minutes. So, you know, I could see definitely the power from a consumer standpoint if I were getting ready to buy a Samsung flat screen TV or something to enter those keywords and get opinions. So, yes, I do think from a social media perspective, I definitely buy into the fact that the buyer is given more power, and I understand a lot of that. One of the things about your blog, first of all, it was passed on to me from one of your other fans and said, I think you might enjoy this. So it was a resource in my mind that I value highly, and so I looked at it. But you had on there a wish list of activities that you want to measure on these collecting tools, and I really thought that was insightful. Do you mind, you know, letting our listeners know a little bit about that?
Sure. Part of this, and the reason why from an enterprise perspective that you really, if they're going to adopt social media in a systematic program, you have to be able to measure it. And that's the number one, if you say, when I talk to executives, the number one challenge that they have with social media is that it's not that it's participatory or I lose control, it's how do we measure and the
right, they want to know ROI. I mean, exactly. I get that all the time. What's the ROI of LinkedIn? It's like, what do you think? You just put your profile in and a LinkedIn check appears in the mail? I mean, it just doesn't work that way.
I haven't gotten one of those lately. I'd like one.
So the challenge that for most of us is that the tools are really in their nascent early stage. So you'll find that the tools themselves will measure. For example, you can go out and you can measure the chatter analysis. You can actually go out and see how many times a topic is mentioned on social media sites, across a lot of social media sites, or on blogs. Well, you can also do comparisons for your competitors. So my three biggest competitors, one's mentioned every 3 hours, another one's mentioned 5 hours, and another one's mentioned 8 hours. And oh, by the way, we're mentioned every 16 hours. Well, that tells you something about how important and where really the perception of the market, not necessarily the actual market size. That gives you a lot of information to be able to understand where you need to participate, who's talking about you, who are the key influencers you need to connect to, and what topics are of interest to the market that may not necessarily be product-driven. It may be more the emotional side of this, which is what are the problems that they have.
So you coach your clients in creating content that is valuable to their prospective clients so that they can be just kind of out there a little more often, and that'll help them bubble up in the searches?
That, and also what I see is that social media actually represents a shift to back to the social search. The key is that you need to find influencers who may not necessarily be buyers. So, for example, the top bloggers in your market. The line between what is a professional media analyst versus a semi-professional is blurring. So they may be a passionate advocate for, we heard earlier about moms at work. Well, they may be a stay-at-home mom who does work and works out of their house, who runs a blog because it's important. Well, if you can build a relationship with them, you can give them compelling content that helps make them more effective as a blogger, then you're creating an advocate and an evangelist for you that could reach a far greater reach on these social media sites that you could reach from advertising. The other piece of it is from an advertising perspective, we're so deluged with the amount of advertising that's mm-hmm. out there that we've started to discount it.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's about this almost 360-degree referential buying that says, hey, I hear what you're saying, but let me go validate mm-hmm. with other people who have either bought or who have the same problems so that I can get a better sense of what I want to buy. Hence back to social media and why social search is becoming so important. It's about who's talking about it. It's the credibility of the person talking, the independence, and then also, how do I relate to that, which is far different than your traditional advertising and marketing.
Gosh, Lee, I've learned a lot.
Yeah. It's a big shift from that interruption marketing to this more engagement marketing.
And the interruption marketing is going, I mean, it's going by the wayside. How often do you watch a TV program live? I mean, you DVR it, and I fast forward through all those commercials.
Right.
I can't tell you the last time I watched a commercial. I don't watch much television, but it's there are so many ways now to fast forward and to just not pay any attention, that to be able to pay attention to the things that are of interest to you, as you're saying, and those keywords and the searches, makes a lot of sense. You have a lot of knowledge on this subject and a lot to share with our listeners. Probably the first step for anyone that you've tickled their fancy or what their appetite would be to give them your blog. How can they reach you or go on your blog?
So my blog address is Half Rose, H-A-L-F, Rose Marketing. Obviously a playoff of Matthew Rosenhaft. HalfRoseMarketing.com. And that's really where I've started creating this thought leadership center around how do you use social media for marketing for enterprises.
Terrific. That's a great start because I learned a lot and I'm hooked. You know, I think I might start commenting.
Wow. Take and that first. Baby steps.
Baby steps. Yeah. But I think what made me not so intimidated about commenting is that you talk so often about your lack of grammar skills in your writing. And I thought, well, good. Then the expectations are low. I'm going to start commenting because everybody has an opinion, right? I saw that. Lots of people have opinions. And I might start expressing mine favorably, of course.
You're welcome. You don't have to be favorable.
Well, I'm not all that controversial, but if I see something I really like, I need to let him know, right?
Right.
Thank you, Matthew, for being with us today. Obviously, I saw something I really liked when your information came across the desk at the Atlanta Business Radio Show, and we're very happy that you came to be a guest with us today. Nicole, thank you so much, too. We hope folks will reach out and contact you, and to our listeners, we hope to see you tomorrow night at the Radio X event, right?
That's right, Inside Designs.
I think I'm going to be there.
You better be there.
Yes,
with
I'll
all
be
your
there.
Ballots.
With all my ballots. Vote, vote, vote. Yes, gosh.
Vote early, vote often.
Yes. And actually, I need to make it clear, though. You can go on the website and vote once and donate $25, and that's 25,
that's 25
votes.
Votes.
So you don't have to go in and do a dollar at a time.
No.
I had a voicemail about that this morning. So
Right. Go
in, place your votes. It's tax deductible. Come to the party. Have some fun. Meet lots of cool folks that
hundreds
have been on.
Hundreds of people will be there. Promise.
Is this going to be like a little mini reunion for me? Over
more
than 100 shows, and all of our guests are invited to this thing. So
Right. A
lot of them will get to meet each other as well.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for listening this week. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show.